We're certainly glad you're here. You're tuned in to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 23rd, 2012. And those of you that have been tuning in for any period of time to the editions of Mark and Friends sometime during Monday through Friday. Now, Thursday, I know Joey Kroll does the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, but typically Monday through Friday, you'll hear me and various guests. One of the things I love about having various guests in the studio or over the phone is I'm getting to know them. And this is the case of today's Monday edition of Mark and Friends. Bruce Henriksen is in the studio. So, Bruce, welcome to Great News Radio, and thanks for freeing up some time to come and share some of your testimony and life story with our radio listening family.
You're welcome, and thank you for letting me share.
What has been nice as we've gotten to know each other, this past Saturday, I was at a men's breakfast and had some good old bacon and sausage and pancakes and some testimonies about how iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So we kind of talked about different ways that men need to be in other men's lives and got to be at the table with you and hearing some of your story. And I thought you would be a great addition to Mark and Friends. And I didn't realize that we had a mutual friend in Bob Thompson.
Yes, we do.
And so we just recapped off air some of that whole story on how God used Bob Thompson about 18 years ago to help birth the first radio tower for Great News Radio and how all that came together. I've shared that story so many times on the air, but it was fun sharing with Bruce some of the inside information on how it all worked and how only God could have orchestrated such a turn of events and all the logistics to pull it all together. It was certainly a divine appointment, but Bob Thompson is a mutual friend, and I know you are an elder at the Community Free Church in Mahomet. Mm-hmm. You've served there for a number of years. In fact, you're one of the founding families.
Yes.
I guess back in 1992, right, you and a number of other families felt led of God to start this new church called the Community Free Church of Mahomet. Mm-hmm. I think now, or it's an Evangelical Free Church,
right,
so some will call it the Community Evangelical Free Church of Mahomet. And I've had the great pleasure on many Sundays to join in on the worship service and attend some of the Bible studies. You've been married to lovely Debbie for 36 years. Tell me a little about your wife.
She is just a phenomenal person. She has allowed us to have three beautiful girls, mm-hmm, and she's loved the Lord. She became a Christian at a time when her family wasn't particularly involved with, mm-hmm, church or anything, but as a young person made that decision herself, and I had the good fortune to get a chance to meet her and know her, and I'll maybe describe that more a little bit later. But it was a great situation for me to get to know her before I had any ideas about anything other than just a friend. And so we grew together. In fact, my favorite story about my wife was when I was first telling my mother about this young lady that I was really getting to know well, and that I was pretty confident that I loved her to the point that we might get married someday. And so I just said, she's just really beautiful inside.
Hmm.
So my mom told me then the first time that I brought her down to meet them, that later she said to me, "Well, you said she was beautiful on the inside. I kind of got this idea maybe she was pretty ugly." But in fact, she's beautiful and was then.
Mm.
She's a wonderful part of my life.
Now, you said you began as friends. Was it love at first sight then, or just...
No, it wasn't. Very simply, I was a high school teacher at the time, and she was actually a high school student. Not in my classes, had nothing to do with my classes, mm-hmm, but I got to know her from that perspective, mm-hmm, and some years then... Soon after she graduated from high school, I did ask her out, and things progressed from there. A few years later, we got married. So
we'll come back to that little love story for sure. Now, I know you're a...
Bob Thompson knows way too much about that story, by the way.
Yeah, so I'll have to call him off air and get some more tips on this. Now, I know you're a department chair at Parkland, mm-hmm, College. You oversee business and ag industries. Tell me a little about that assignment and that position.
Yeah, at Parkland, there's 9 different academic departments, including this particular one. In fact, a lot of people who know me or know of me probably connect me to the ag side, because that's really what my background was. I was a farm kid and taught high school ag, as I kind of alluded to a while ago, and did a master's degree at some point and got a chance to start teaching at Parkland many years ago, actually. The first time I taught there was 1975. So my background was a lot of ag, and yet at 9 years ago, we had a department chair who stepped down, decided to go back to faculty. And so it was kind of like one of those things, 14 full-time faculty. We all kind of looked around at each other and said, well, who's going to become the faculty department chair? Because if one of us doesn't do that, they're going to pick somebody else, and we don't know who that is. Mm-hmm. And so I joked with people. I drew the short straw and became department chair. But the reality is there were some things that I thought maybe needed to be improved a little at Parkland, even though it's been a great place. It is a great place. And I thought I may have an opportunity to cause some of those things to change over mm-hmm. time. And so I've enjoyed it. I'm going to continue to do that for at least for the next few years. And people, I guess because of my gray hair, people keep wanting to know, are you going to retire? You know, and I'm going, you know, I still love going to work and doing the things that I do. And so why would I retire?
What do you like most about your work or
sure.
going to Parkland?
Sure. I enjoy working with the full-time faculty and also the part-time faculty and doing all the things of organizing classes and assigning the instructors. And then, of course, ultimately, I tell my instructors, my job is to help you help the students. Mm-hmm. But I still get to teach a little bit. In fact, my background, as I said, ag, and specifically is grain marketing. So right now you can thank me for all the $8 corn and the $17 beans. I'm sure it's all because of me. But nevertheless, that's what I've been trying to teach for years. And I love teaching, and mm-hmm. I'd rather just teach. But as I said, somebody else needed to do these other things, mm-hmm. and so that's me. So seeing students, some young, some not so young, learn mm-hmm. Is, again, still the passion of my vocation, if you will.
I know you mentioned you had three daughters, mm-hmm. Three grown daughters.
Yes.
You've lived in the Mahomet area for about 34 years,
yeah.
married 36 years,
yes.
but have been in this area. And I know you have taught in Paxton.
Yes.
And then
yeah.
other area districts around here.
Taught high school ag for 5 years at Paxton and then went straight to Parkland. And I mentioned the first time, I think I used that phrase in there, because I was at Parkland, teaching ag just as a teacher. Loved doing it. But in 1985, I'd been there about 10 years, and because of the crisis that was in agriculture, many of your listeners probably would remember those mid-80s and the difficulties. Our numbers were down. I still had good old tenure, so I had a job, but it wasn't as much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody came to me. He was starting a farm market consulting business and was looking for someone to join in with him to start that. And I'd said that if there was any one thing in ag I was going to do other than teach, it would be helping farmers market their grain. And so next thing I knew, I went ahead and quit my secure job at Parkland College and went into that business. And I was doing that for about 5 years as a farm market consultant. And I enjoyed it and loved working with the farmers, sitting across the kitchen table with them and helping them develop plans and then do the plans for marketing. But I really missed teaching.
Mm.
I really missed the traditional students, if you will. I was always very involved with helping the students beyond the classroom, doing ag club activities both locally at state contests, at national contests, that type of thing. So, again, really involvement with mm-hmm. the students was what I enjoyed doing, and I missed it. And I had a chance to go back. So in 1989, I got a chance to go back to Parkland full-time,
mm-hmm.
basically doing what I was doing at that time. So for many years, I was just teaching again.
Well, I don't know if you knew at the time how instrumental God was going to use you in my life, but it was because of something that you said to one of the Parkland College faculty members. I think mm-hmm. she was the director of continuing education, Jan Simon.
Community education, yes.
Community education. Yes. And it was Parkland College pursuing me, called me up and said, would I come in and tell them about maybe overseeing a trip and hosting mm-hmm. a trip to Israel?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a little over a year ago in March
right.
of 2011.
Right.
I got to host a group that included some Parkland College faculty
right.
and then some local people throughout the area. And it ended up being about a third Christian, a
uh-huh.
third Jewish, and about a third kind of educational or faculty.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I thoroughly, thoroughly loved it. And it was a great opportunity to have different people from points of view all gelled together. And it's like God gave me this great opportunity to witness and to share
mm-hmm.
and to have the Jewish people sharing with the Christians and
yeah.
then the Christians sharing why they have such a passion and helping those that were maybe more secular, or the
mm-hmm.
educators learning, wow, this is what makes the Christians tick. And
yeah.
it was a very, very unique trip. And I thoroughly enjoyed getting to know Jan through some of
right.
our meetings and planning.
Right.
And
yes,
and I guess
good.
You were the one behind the scenes that had recommended me.
It was one of those things, again, because of my role as department. If I'd have just been one of the ag instructors, that would have never happened. But because I was in the particular position I'm in now, I was at a meeting where that was brought up by Jan as something they were talking about doing, and next thing, you know, I was talking with her, and It was fun.
Yeah, thank you.
See how God works.
Yeah. Well, I know you have a special verse that God has used in your life over the many years, and I'd love to transition into some of your background story.
Sure.
One of the unique things that I love about the various editions of Mark and Friends, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. All last week we had Jason co-hosting with me, and we had a whole theme on Genesis and the Creation Museum and the Institute for Creation Research. And talk about Jason getting fired up and passionate. It was really fun having him all week long with me. But when I get to have an individual like yourself, and in case you just tuned in, I have Bruce Henriksen. He's Department Chair of Business and Ag Industries at Parkland College. He's lived locally here for about 34 years, been married to lovely Debbie for 36 years, three grown children. He's an elder at the Community Free Church in Muhammad. In fact, he was one of the founding family members that brought that church or helped birth it in 1992. And he's taught in the area. And we're getting to know each other. Yeah. But what I love about the opportunity of bringing new guests in is them being able to share their story, their, if you will, spiritual pilgrimage, that sanctification process that takes people through, like, maybe early childhood commitments to Christ, to recommitments, or coming to Christ at a late age. Now, I know in your case, it was around the age of 12 that you were introduced to the Savior Jesus.
Yeah.
But there was a period of time where God was working, where there were some surprises, some heartache, and some blessing. And so maybe take us through that process of growing up in a Christian home, but who was instrumental in really leading you to that point where you knew you needed Jesus as a Savior?
Sure. Yeah, I was from, an area near Springfield, north of Springfield, but small town, farm families. I mean, my mother and she had two sisters that both lived within a few miles of us. Their husbands, all the husbands, farmed, family farms. We all went to the same little church in Sherman, little Methodist church, before it became United Methodist, Methodist church, along with mom's parents. So grandma and grandpa were always there. Every Sunday after church, we were going to one of the families for lunch, and it was a great positive thing. Another thing I was sharing with some guys recently was none of those three farmers would ever do anything other than livestock work on Sundays. They would never do any grain work. It was just something they felt was important to honor the Sabbath. And again, sometimes, you know, I look back at that and think, well, okay, so I shouldn't do any work on Sunday. You know, again, there's grace.
Right.
Praise the Lord. So I really had a great childhood, but unfortunately, as I said, very close families, particularly one of those sisters to my mom, her husband, and my dad were brothers. So we had what's called double cousins, right? Brothers married sisters. So we were particularly close because I had an older brother, and then they had two girls at that time. There was just two of us. Later on, there's two more boys in my family added 10 years later, but the two sisters had a younger brother, and so he was about 3-4 years younger than me, and he got sick. He was 8 years old and got sick. Really one of those quick things. They weren't real sure what it was, some type of hepatitis, chicken pox. I mean, he died. And I can still remember thinking through that, going to that funeral, and realizing.
You were about 12 at the time?
I was 12. And been in church, heard the stories of Jesus, but it suddenly hit me that I wasn't showing him the love of Jesus that I was shown by so many, including my parents especially, and others, my aunts and uncles and so on. And at that point, in my own time, in my own talking to Jesus, I accepted him and said, I'm going to do better than that. I'm going to love people. And I've tried to do that since then. So I started a prayer life, my little quiet time. My parents were just wonderful examples in so many ways. My mother was, Dad didn't talk a lot. But
which is pretty typical of our generation,
yes,
anyone that's 50, 60, 70, which is a lot of our listeners, kind of many of their parents were that old school, and some of our 70, 80-year-olds, you know, open up a little more. We really need you to talk and share and convey spiritual truths. But that mentality of those born in the 1900s, 1910, 1920, 1930s, they were very quiet. They kind of spoke their message through their actions.
Right.
And I think that's what you said. Your dad really modeled godly characteristics, but didn't say a whole lot.
That's right. Exactly right. Mom did. It was easier to talk to Mom. Mm-hmm. But so, and at that point, I really did understand. I really understood. I know I became a Christian at that point. You know, and then from there, it was more the typical thing. But again, at least I was always taken to church, but I was willing to go through the years. And then off to college, clueless when I came to college, went to a class of 34 to U of I, 5,500, I think at that time was my class size. And I was kind of half lost most of the time. But at some point in that process, of course, I started dating and those things and struggled a little bit with trying to do what I thought was right relative to girls and dating and so on. And I did start going steady with a girl, broke up with her as I started college. We got back together again. And so between the sophomore and junior year in college, I married my high school sweetheart.
So you're about 20, 22?
About 21, maybe 20. And she, at that point, was working, chose to work rather than go to school. So, you know, basically she helped put me through the last couple years of school because finances was a struggle for me. But that's what we decided to do. Then I took a position, a job, as I mentioned, teaching high school ag, and really poured myself a lot into that because that's really what I knew God had wanted me to be a teacher since I was seventh grade. By the time I was a freshman in high school, taking high school ag, I knew that I wanted to be a high school ag teacher. So I knew that's what I was doing, and that's where I went. And it became a struggle for her, for our relationship. And the other part of that is that at some point we felt like we did want to have children, and we did not. We're not able to do that. And very simply at that point, we both were frustrated, and she chose to leave and do other things. That was a crash for me like I'd never experienced before. But God, in fact, those few days after she left me, I happened to be going with a group of Christian people to a retreat for youth. And at that point, someone shared a scripture with me, Romans 8:28, all things work for good for those that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. And boy, that didn't seem to fit very well. And yet at the same time, there was a part of my heart that the Holy Spirit, I think, really spoke to that said, yes, this can still be okay. It isn't what I wanted. It isn't what necessarily God wanted. But he would help me through that. And he, with friends, did.
Talk a little about that verse, because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that are going through heartache or are unclear that God really cares or has their best interest in mind. Or what does it mean that all things work together? Does that mean it's going to work out according to my plan?
That's the problem. As always, we want it to be the way I want the results to be in it and in my timing. And what I learned then, and relearned way too many times probably, is that no, it's still... it's okay. God is still faithful to me, and I just need to be faithful to him, and that he's gracious, as we talked about a while ago, and that he'll heal. He did. And I think, again, from my perspective, as others who've gone through something like that, as Christians especially, there was a part of it that was more than just me personally having to deal with the emotion part, but it was also, gee, I'm trying to be an example here. I've been trying to be an example in the church I was working with the youth group I was working with, as well as with my kids at the high school at that time. And it just, again, when I put too much faith in my own ability, it's not going to work out very well.
Now, we know you and Debbie have been married 36 years, so obviously that has taken, and God has brought this lovely lady into your life.
Yes,
maybe in our next few minutes, because the verse that you just referenced, that Romans 8:28, that many people have memorized, and we know this is the NIV version, and we know that in all things, in all things, that's really important, we need to underline that, God works for the good, not we necessarily. God works for the good of those who love him, have been called according to his purposes. Yeah. So tell us a little about meeting Debbie and how God has worked his will out in those purposes.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I saw her just as a part of the high school, and one of my good Christian friends at the high school happened to be a speech teacher, and she was also involved a lot with plays and that type of thing. And so, especially as I became single, this friend and her husband kind of took me under their wing and, you know, helped me and invited me over and so on and so forth. And so I started working more with her, with the plays, that type of thing, actually going along and helping judge some of the contests. And there were a lot of kids in that particular group at that stage. This happened to be a senior class that were involved with the plays and so on. And there was just this one. And again, I really didn't have any thought of anything that I shouldn't have, okay?
Was it Romeo and Juliet?
No, it was not. No, no. And again, I was
reenacting a Song of Solomon.
No, no, okay. Right. So it was just observing her as a young woman who was mature beyond her years and so on. And at some point, as I said, I started eventually, after healing a little bit, I started dating some women. In fact, I looked back at one point, and in a couple of years, I dated, I don't know, a bunch, you know. But God was just helped me understand that. I think he really was helping me be led to the right person.
Right, right.
And so anyway, at some point after Debbie graduated, I really felt like it was appropriate to ask her. And and so it was neat.
Yeah.
And so we dated that next year and actually got engaged in, I think, Christmas and got married the next June. So and so I helped her go through the rest of her school, which was Parkland College, and she became an RN, and she worked for a couple of years. And then at some point, we decided, yeah, we would want to have a family as well. And God worked out some things. And, in fact, we have, as I said, three daughters.
Three lovely grown daughters.
Yes, we do.
Well, Bruce, we're out of time.
Oh,
there's other stories to share, even just how you felt led of God to be a part of CFC, Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, and how you're a faithful elder there now, serving in various ways and helping. I know on Saturday, I think after the men's breakfast, you were up on the roof working on things. Those are all those consequences of being one of those elders.
Yeah.
But thanks for being available for today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. And thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. And remember, this is a great verse for us all, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. A great reminder that God wants to be involved in our lives. If you missed a part of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link. There's also a picture of Bruce there. So stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, or if you have a Facebook account, I'm always posting our special guests. Just type in Great News Radio, and oftentimes there'll be a photograph of the guests on Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.